Old Brother Ronald and I had some wonderful times together, pardon me, in Israel. And I didn't mind furnishing food for him to eat. But he began to not only take what he wanted to eat, he began to hoard it up. And towards the end of that journey, I looked in his case, and he had more of my food than I had. I can tell you, Brother Ronald was, he was taking care of himself, but we certainly enjoyed that, certainly did. Well, it's certainly my pleasure to be back here with the church at Nashville again. I want to thank you for your prayers and your calls and your thoughts and cards that I received during my illness. And I'm forever grateful to you, and I'm thankful for your love and support. I'm thankful to God that he has allowed me to recover pretty well from that, and I hope to never be able to do that again. But I'm so thankful to you and all of God's people everywhere who were very faithful to pray for me during those times. And certainly my wife and family nourished me back, and through your prayers and the Lord's hand, he's allowed me again to be able to come before his people. Some of the things that you think about during your times of difficulty, when you are not sure that you'll be able to talk in a manner that you could be able to speak where people could understand you, and you might not be able to have the use of your limbs. And as I struggled through those days and wondering what would be the final result of the health problem, I had many thoughts that came to me about the duty and responsibility of preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how that you must realize, and I must realize, and Brother Ronald and these other ministers here must realize, that if God has indeed called us to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's an awesome responsibility. The Apostle Paul said in the Ephesian letter, he said, "Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power." That's how that Paul was made a minister, and it's how that I'm made a minister and these other ministers here, according to the effectual working of God's power. And Paul said unto me, "Who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." And when you read that and you let it sink in, Brother Danny, you understand how that if God has indeed called me and has entrusted me with preaching and proclaiming his gospel, that it's certainly an awesome responsibility. And I am reminded of what the Apostle Paul said in the letter to Timothy. We'll come back to this in a moment, but he said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:20, he said, "In a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." It's my desire and the desire of each one of these ministers to be meet for the master's use, to be fit to be in the master's use, to be a vessel of honor. He said there's some vessels in a great house. There's vessels of honor and there's vessels of dishonor. So it's my desire and it's my purpose to be a vessel of honor in a great house. And so as I look and study that, I think about how could God call me to preach his glorious gospel. I believe that God calls men to preach the gospel, and I believe that he calls them and gives them the gift to proclaim and to preach his gospel. And I thought about some of the things that I think are very important in my preaching of the gospel, and I believe any other minister's preaching of the gospel. Paul said that, you see, brethren, that your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, and not many mighty, and not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and have chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And the base things of the world, and things that are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, but that no flesh should glory in his presence. When a man has been blessed to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no place to glory in the presence of the Lord, because it's of him, he's given it to us, it's entrusted to us, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So we have something to glory about tonight. We come together here, and as I come before you, I come tonight to glory in the Lord. I'm thankful for the health that the Lord has given me to be able to stand before you again. But my glory is in the Lord of heaven. I'm on a mission to preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And if he gives me strength and gives me the things that the necessary things that I need to be able to preach his glorious gospel, I'm thankful to him and glory in that great name. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And why did he do it? He said, for the perfecting of the saints. It's for the equipping of the saints. As the preacher comes before you, he's like an equipment manager. When I was playing football, we'd go up to that window, and every afternoon when we walked in there, there'd be someone standing there, be handing out the necessary things. We walk up to the window, he gave us our equipment. We went to our locker. And I think in preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we come to the house of God, we come to be equipped for the equipping or the perfecting of the saints. The pulpits of America today have become glorified advice centers, and the pews have become places of like a psychiatrist's couch. The things that are being preached from the pulpits of America today is not worthy of the God of heaven. We are to come before God's people, and we're to preach with a passion. We're to preach like we're never going to preach again. And how true that I never would think or know, as most people would in that occasion, that it might be my last time to preach. And I should come before you, and I should preach with every passion within my body, because I'm coming in the name of my Lord and my Savior and declaring the things that he has done for me. So I would trust that we would preach like we were never going to be able to preach again, and that like that we were a dying man preaching to dying people. It was might be any one of us his last time, and I should have a passion to preach the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the scriptures teach that the preaching of the gospel is as the playing of a trumpet. But I hear so much of the preaching today that it's like playing a violin. A violin, you know, is a beautiful instrument, and I love to hear violin music. But if you're getting ready to go to battle, it's not a place to be playing a violin. It's a place to blow the trumpet, so the army knows when to get ready to go to battle. And sometimes I think that maybe we've spent too much time just fiddling around. And I trust that maybe in the future, that I could learn not to spend too much time fiddling around, but preach the glorious gospel of our Lord and to tell them about what our God has done for us, and not only what he's done for us, what he's doing for us now, that he's seated on the right hand of the Father. And we're to preach the word and to be instant in season and out of season, and not to be so covered over with so many different things that we can tell, that we get away from the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Down in Texas, we call a man like that all hat and no cattle. You know, whenever he has things like that, he seems to be all style and no substance. And we're not to preach that. We're to preach the gospel, to be instant in season and out of season and preach it with a passion. You know, sometimes people says, look, preacher, you need to make some changes. You need to catch the spirit of the age. There's so many things for our young people. If you're ever going to attract them, you must catch the spirit of the age. And I have said before that if we catch the spirit of the age, we're going to be widows in just a few more years, because the things will change. But God is the same yesterday and today and forever. And the needs of mankind are the same as they always have been. When your grandparents and great-grandparents came and sit in the pews and heard the gospel preached, they had exactly the same needs that this congregation does here tonight. And now then that we have gotten to where that we've to give so much advice and become almost like the psychiatrist, that's not the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we become a very glorified social club. I believe that we ought to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in simplicity. In fact, that's the only way some of us can preach it, is in simplicity. But I believe it's the correct way and the proper way to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in simplicity. I've known men who have had many degrees behind their name and has a great vocabulary. I had one time for a partner in the real estate business. But that man had a great gift of being able to explain things in simplicity. And just because that you might have the great knowledge, I greatly respect Brother Ronald Lawrence. He is absolutely one of my favorite individuals and favorite preachers, and I'll tell you that. But I'll tell you one thing, he was able to preach the gospel in simplicity that we can be able to understand it. Isn't it wonderful that you do not have to have some type of college degree to be able to hear and to understand the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? So I'm thankful for that. He said, brethren, I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So when we come and preach and proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not done, he said, in the wisdom of men, that it is done in a simplistic manner. And so I'm like Vince Lombardi whenever he had just taken the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. And at the first meeting, he had a football under his arm and he gathered before the team. And he told them, he held it up and he said, now men, this is a football. And just a second, he said, now, am I going too fast for you? So we're not, the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is not something that would be that complicated. I believe that we ought to preach. I tried to preach today on old-time religion down at Wilson Creek. And I believe that we ought to be able to still to teach and preach that sin is black and that hell is hot and that heaven is real. And to be able that the judgment is sure, those are the things we ought to preach and proclaim whenever we come to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. My daddy, who was a minister of the gospel, one time was going down the road, and a friend of mine who was a member of the church was asking, talking to him. And he said, Brother Stanley, he said, why is it that you don't preach much on the book of Revelation? He said, I'd like to hear you preach on Revelation more often. And Daddy said, well, Mike, I do preach on the book of Revelation sometime on the things that I understand. But he said, there's so much in the book of Revelation that I don't understand, and there's so much in the rest of the book that I do understand. I think it behooves God's people that I preach what I do understand. And I think that all ministers of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ should be able to understand theirself what they're trying to preach and proclaim. And then to be able to stand and to preach on that. Makes me think of the time, you know, Calvin Coolidge was a very devout man, President Calvin Coolidge, who was the President of the United States. Calvin Coolidge went to church one Sunday and his wife didn't go. When he came back home, she said, what did the preacher preach about today? And Calvin Coolidge said he preached on adultery. And his wife said, well, what did he say about it? Coolidge said, well, I think he was against it. you know, he couldn't really tell. And he said another time, he said that he had never heard a sermon that he didn't get something out of. But he said, I've had some very close calls. I'll tell you, whenever we preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the most glorious message that's ever been. It is absolutely glorious, and it's absolutely the truth, and you can stand up on it. You can get all type of statistics and all type of conclusions from the government and other sources and surveys and so forth, and you can quote those things and do those things, and you come along later and find out that that was somebody's conclusion. It wasn't necessarily correct anyway. But then we come to the Bible, and we find that the things that it has to say and the things that we are to stand up on, the things that it has to say, we can stand up on in all confidence. We have God's word, and it has given it to us, and we're able to stand up on it. The Apostle Paul said, but I fear lest by any means that the serpent beguile Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. I'm here to tell you today that you do not have to be a rocket scientist to be able to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have heard men take the pulpit to preach who I knew for sure did not have past a ninth grade education. This has been 30 years ago. I knew that they did not have above a ninth grade education. But I heard them so wonderfully and beautifully preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ till it made me just say, Lord, thank you. And it gave me confidence to know that if the Lord could take a man like that, that would be ignorant and unlearned as far as the world's concerned, and would take him and be able to lift him to be able to preach the gospel in such a glorious manner. And I've seen men with great education, great education and great vocabularies, and I've seen them also lifted to preach the gospel in the same manner. And I've seen somewhere in between. And I've also seen those who were not able to preach the gospel that had a great knowledge of the scriptures, but did not have the understanding that God had given them. I'm thinking about Apollos, you know, he was a very polished man. Whenever Apollos went to preach, he was a man that I believe that he dressed in the nicest fashion of the day. And I believe he had a great education and a very good vocabulary. And when Apollos went to preach, great numbers of people come out to see him. Because there's a certain amount of people that cannot get anything out of a man who is uneducated, because they're not listening to the content of what he's saying. They're listening or thinking about, or they're judging him because of other outside forces. And Apollos was a man that I believe he drew great crowds, and people followed him because he was a very polished preacher. He was an eloquent man, and he was mighty in the scriptures. And this man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. So here was a man that was an eloquent speaker. He was mighty in the scriptures. He was not someone who just didn't know what he was talking about. But Apollos had one problem. Apollos knew nothing but the baptism of John. When they later come to Aquila and Priscilla took him out, and they taught unto him and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And we come on down, and we find that while he was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be a Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. See, Apollos had already been there baptized. And John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. And while we greatly believe in repentance, that we should repent and turn from our sins, that was the baptism that Apollos was preaching. But here Paul came along and asked them unto what baptism, and they said unto the baptism of John. And you know what happened? Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, and that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord. Whenever they were taught more perfectly in the way of the Lord, you wonder sometimes why that we rebaptize people. People say, well, I've already been baptized. You've probably been baptized in the baptism of John, or in the baptism of repentance. John was said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It was a baptism of repentance. And so whenever Paul learned that, they came along and rebaptized those people. There's a lot of things that we are able to do and to be able to think, but we should be grounded and founded in the word of the Lord, to be able to study his word and to be able to expound upon it. Now, there's many difficulties along the way as I've looked at the preaching of the gospel and thought about it, and there's many difficulties that befronts these ministers that's besides the physical ailments that I've just had. There's many other things. And as I thought about that and the importance of preaching the gospel, I thought about what the Apostle Paul talking about Alexander the coppersmith. There was a man there that was out to do Paul much evil, and he did. Alexander the coppersmith was his name. He did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. But you know what Paul found out in that? And while this man was against the Apostle Paul, and while he caused him much evil, Paul also found out, he said, at first, no man stood with me but the Lord, but no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. And there's one thing we'll find out as preachers of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we'll lean upon the Lord and we'll look to him and we'll trust in him, he will be the one who will strengthen us and give us the strength and courage that we need. But the Apostle Paul realized that there would be many problems that would befront him as he went to preach the gospel. He said, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnessed to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. But he said, but none of these things move me. A minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ cannot be discouraged to the point that he can't preach the gospel, because he knew that they would be afflictions, that they abounded with him, because the Spirit had already told him. He had people that were against him. He had people that were not like Alexander Coppersmith that was against him. And yet he said, but none of these things move me. And I know the difficulties and struggles of so many of our preachers and the things that I wonder how that they would go on. But yet they continue to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever Paul had got through witnessing about these things and talking about that he felt he was the least of all the saints, that God had called him to preach the gospel. And I thought about how that some ministers seems to have such a, and some members and people have a, they just have seem like a closer relationship with God than others do. And sometimes you go to church and you see people that are so greatly rejoicing over the things that are being said and the fellowship of the people and so forth. And as I thought about that, I thought about that we would be fit for the master's use. The psalmist David said, who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? I'd love tonight to ascend unto the hill of the Lord. I'd love to be right with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to have fellowship with him and enjoy the fellowship of his Spirit, to be able to come to the house of God and to be able to have that warm fellowship that every one of us has experienced from time to time. Yet sometimes we get to be in a cold position and separated from God, and we just do not have the warm feeling that we once had. I can remember as a teenager going to the church and hearing the gospel preached and weeping tears of joy and just feasting upon the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm only in the 10th or 11th grade in high school. but greatly enjoying the preaching and greatly rejoicing in my Savior. And yet there's been other times that it's been dull and cold, and whenever it seemed like, as Job said, that he had clean gone forever. Well, the psalmist here said, who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? If we as a minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ would like to be lifted above, if we would like to have that warm feeling of fellowship with our Lord, he says, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity and are sworn deceitfully. So being a minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's absolutely imperative that he have clean hands and a pure heart. He says, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. He says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use. The highest honor and the greatest joy of any minister is to be used in God's service. And to be used in God's service, it is absolutely necessary if we ascend unto the hill of the Lord and we stand in his holy place, it is absolutely necessary that we purge himself from these, and he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use. Certainly, if we're going to enjoy the fellowship of God, to enjoy the fellowship of his Son, that we are to purge ourselves from these things. You know that word purge in the scriptures. He says, if a man purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. That word purge in the scriptures is used 29 times. 29 times in the scriptures it's used, and 27 of those times it's God who does the purging. God does the purging. Two of those times we're told to do the purging. He told the church at Corinth to purge out the unleavened bread, the leavened bread. And then he told us here to purge out. He said, if a man therefore purge himself from these. So we have two times that we're told to purge. So if we purge ourselves, that we purge ourselves, then we become a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use. You know, to be able to be a vessel of honor, to be able to be meet for the master's use, there's many, many types of times that the scriptures talk about that uses the minister of the gospel as a vessel. Paul said, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. And then another place he says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. So the scriptures use the word vessels for the preaching of the gospel. I know it's every ministry here and my desire to be a vessel of honor, that we be fit for the master's use, that I could be a person that would be fit for the master's use, as Paul said, the one that was called, he said, unto me who am less than the least of the saints is this grace given, that I could preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So we have a desire to be vessels of honor in the house of God. You know, there's many, many different type of vessels, some under honor and some under dishonor, some for everyday use and some for special occasions. My wife, she has a set of, you know, she has a set of silverware in one drawer over here, and then she has another set in another drawer over here, and then I think another in some type of chest someplace that they're keeping hid back. I told her, I said, I always use those good ones. I don't know who we're saving them for. I mean, you know, I'm not saving them. I try to, why we use these little ones over here? I said, I'm going to use these good ones. And every time I go use the good ones, she gets tired of that, but she washes them anyway. But anyway, there's vessels of honor, some to honor and some to dishonor. Whenever I was growing up, you know, my mom and daddy raised 10 children, and we had some vessels around there, some of the things that we had many types of vessels. We didn't own any china. We didn't own any pottery. We had some glass, and I don't think we even had paper and plastic back in those days. We had some tin stuff, too. But I'll tell you, the most important thing about that, the thirst that we use, was that it was clean. And the most important thing that can be when God is going to, if you're going to be a vessel of honor, is that you be clean. You could have the finest piece of china that you could find or pottery any place that was dirty, and you could have a paper plate to eat off of, and you say, let me have that paper plate. I'd rather eat off of a clean paper plate or a piece of plastic than a dirty piece of china or pottery at any time. He said that in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver and also of wood and earth, but some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel under honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use. What a great blessing it'd be that such a lowly one as I could be meet for the master's use. I mean that he could use me in the preaching of the gospel, that it might be meet for the master's use. The most important thing, that he be meet for the master's use. The preacher could be tall and dark and handsome. Oh, he could be the most best dresser you ever heard and the best speaker. But if he's not clean, he said, who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. That's the most important thing that we can possibly have. And we can be meet, fit for the master's use. It's every one of us' desire. And as I've had a lot of time to think about the things that I ought to do, to be used in the king's house would be the greatest honor that I could ever have. And to be able to be fit for the master's use could absolutely be the greatest honor that I could ever have. And that we have to remember that we must keep the faith. Paul came to the end of his preaching, and he said, the time of my departure is at hand, and I fought a good fight, and I've kept the faith, and I have finished my course. So I trust that when we come down to the end, it wasn't long ago that, or some time ago, that I was in the ordination of a brother, and Brother David Piles did the questioning, and I delivered the charge. And Brother David didn't ask questions really. He took the scripture and he read the text, and he asked the brother, now would you explain to us what that means? Well, the brother was very good, very well learned, and he took the text at Brother David, and I mean he must have had 35, 40 of them. It was not, he grilled him. It was good. But, you know, in his ordination papers, I told him if he ever swerved from these things, that he would no longer be an ordained minister of the gospel of the Primitive Baptist, because you're being ordained today to these things. Sometimes people come along and they leave the faith that was once delivered to the saints, the faith, delivered once and for all, complete. And sometimes people come along and they begin to study and to do things, and they get notions about certain things, and they begin to preach and advocate things that we do not believe. I know that in my personal ordination papers, it says that if I ever swerve from these truths, that then these papers, this ordination, would then become null and void. And so we have to realize that if we're going to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we must have a good fight. He said, I fought a good fight, and I have kept the faith. Oh, it wasn't that Paul, he wasn't talking about that he was such a faithful brethren, and I have faith in God, and I have faith in Christ, and I'm a man of faith. He was not talking about that. He said, I have kept the faith. And I believe he was talking about the entire canon of Scripture, the entire things that God had left for us, that we keep the faith. So I think that we should. Jude said, Beloved, I give all diligence to write unto you the common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. It's an awesome responsibility we have in preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It takes many prayers for God's people, and we ought to hold Brother Lawrence up in prayer that the Lord would bless him to be able to come and proclaim the gospel. Sometimes it's a gospel rejoicing over, much rejoicing, and sometimes it's the preaching of the gospel brings correction and instruction to us. So was the Apostle Paul. Go and look. Go look what the Lord Jesus Christ himself gave to the seven churches of Asia. Some of them he exhorted them, and some of them had problems in their churches, and so did every church that the Apostle Paul wrote to, except maybe the Philippian church. And so we're to keep the faith, and we're to go forward. You know, when the children of Israel came to the Red Sea, and they were between Pharaoh's army and the Red Sea, God told Moses, he said, speak to the people that they go forward. I trust that we could come, and Brother Ronald could speak to you that we go forward. Every minister of the gospel, I simply do not have time to be going backward. Whenever there was a man named Frank Howard that used to be the athletic director at Clemson University, and a few years ago, whenever they Title IX, I believe it was, federal government mandating all the sports, and that they had to offer so many different sports, because you had to have equal sports for women and men and so forth and so on. And someone suggested to Frank Howard, he said, we ought to take up canoeing. And Frank Howard said, we're not going to have any sport at this school where you sit down and go backward. And so that's exactly the way I feel as a minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not interested in sitting down and going backward. I want to go forward. I want to preach the gospel. Preach it as simple and as clear as I possibly can so that God's people can understand it and know the instructions. They need to know where to turn right and where to turn left. And I need to know myself. You know, most of the sermons I preach them to myself. Most of them, because I'm the one generally who's standing in need of that. And I enjoy those the most. Sometimes I just don't preach at all. I'm like the guy who said, there's nobody I'd rather hear preach than me. I'm the same way. I'd really like to hear me preach. I don't get to very often, but I don't preach very often. But I really do like to hear me preach. And anyway, I trust that we take time to reflect upon the preaching of the gospel, and that every one of us, every member, everyone that goes to make up this church would desire to be a vessel of honor, that you might be meet, that you might be fit for the master's use. He can't use a dirty plate. He can't use dirty things. He'd rather have something. He'd rather take a paper plate like me that would be clean and use that than he would to take a man that has far supersedes me in all of his talents. He can't use and be dirty. He'd rather have a clean paper plate than a dirty piece of pottery, and so had you. That's God's way. I trust that we each would be fit for the master's use. Thank you very much. And again, I thank y'all for your love and support during my illness. And I promise I'm going to try to do everything the doctor said, because I'm planning on coming back to Nashville. Thank you.